Thanks, Cindy. A number of things to come back with the panel there. Let's move now to Dr. Paul Bates. Joined Bupa in 2011. Yes, come on up, Paul. A member of the senior executive team, as well as the Bupa Foundation, the Clinical Governance Committee, and the Medical Advisory Panel. Obviously a wealth of experience in health management and health coaching, leader of Bupa's medical team. And the thing that stands out when you look at Paul's contribution, a really strongly focused person on improving the outcomes for consumers. So welcome Paul Bates, Dr. Paul Bates.
Can you all hear me? Oh, good. Good morning, everybody, and it's really good to be here. I just want to introduce myself a little bit and also Boob a little bit, not to make any advertising, but just to contextualise my comments. I've actually been lucky enough to have a really good international career in health services management and worked in the States for the longest time for one of the largest health insurance and wellness companies there, Optum, United Healthcare. And Bupa itself too, is, although I'm talking about our health insurance role today, is actually a health and care company. And we have a reasonably large provision businesses in aged care, dental, optical, hearing, and even some primary care clinics now, some GP clinics. But today I'd like to talk about what health insurance can and are doing in terms of making information more easy to access so the consumers can get better healthcare outcomes. And also, the community can find a more affordable healthcare system. I think that this is an interesting time for us. And this year, there's been quite a bit of media attention on PHI and indeed private healthcare in particular, and particularly in relation to keeping it affordable and creating a sustainable private healthcare system. I would sort of just emphasise Jim's comments about private healthcare covering 2/3 of elective surgeries, around more than $18 billion in treatments for members, and covering about 1 in 2 of Australia's population for their healthcare needs. So I think there's no doubt that we're an important part of the pie. There's also no doubt that we have an important role to play in keeping healthcare affordable and keeping premium increases affordable. There are some issues, which I won't touch today, but they're critical issues to creating healthcare more affordable. And I won't touch them today, but if you're interested, I can talk about what Bupa's doing in that space. But 4 key issues for cost drivers for us are the ageing of the population. And obviously, we don't do much about that. But certainly, in terms of provider inflation, increasing utilisation, and increasing volume of services, and increasing use of more expensive medical technology, all those things fundamentally push up medical inflation to be higher than the CPI. And we certainly have initiatives and actions and thoughts about things in those spaces. But I won't touch on them now because the main topic I'm talking about today is the way we're using information to empower consumers to get better healthcare outcomes and also our thinking around healthcare programs for members. So one thing that we've actually initiated, we just started recently, we just got some press, was publishing of surgeons' fees. It's an interesting thing that it was a clear need of our members that was expressed to us. Actually, more than 90% of members, when we surveyed them, said they wanted to have that kind of information to make them make better choices. And so we did the analysis and have published sort of round one version on our website. And it's actually been very well received. And what we really showed was that the majority of surgeons do charge either a gap payment or a no-gap payment to members, or a fee of less than $1,000. But there's still a significant number who charge out-of-pocket members between $1,000 and $5,000 and more than $5,000. And those rates could often be in excess of what could be considered to be reasonable community charges, although that's ill-defined, but certainly in excess of AMA charges, which would be the top end of that pile. And I think that's something that we all felt very proud of, and I know that our members really appreciate it, because it helps them to deal with 2 difficult problems in the healthcare system. One is actually sticker shock. So when you go and see your doctor, and at that point you're mostly committed to having a procedure in general terms, not always, but by and large you are. To get a large out-of-pocket bill is a poor experience for a member, and they often reflected upon us. And the second is that we do want to create the sense that there is a marketplace out there, and that there isn't necessarily a relationship between the fee that's charged by a doctor and the quality of service provided, and certainly the price that's actually asked for the doctor is an important factor in making a choice. And so we saw it as being an exercise in transparency and giving members more choices, but also to create some competition and hopefully some price stability or even downward pressure for proceduralist fees. Another area initiative we're going to commence shortly is actually making second opinions available for members through a service called Best Doctors. I think we believe in actually giving members good information, in empowering members, people with information too, so they can feel more confident in their healthcare choices and indeed be aware of their choices. So one tool, not the only tool, but one tool is access to second opinions quite easily. And there are a number of high quality online services available. So we've been looking into how we can actually make those services more available for our members so they can access it that. And when they would like to get a second opinion about a certain procedure, they can do so in an easy way. Another important use of data is actually giving data back to doctors about their own level of performance. And I would say that in my long career now in health services management, there's a lot of sort of ideas and themes that come and go. But one enduring theme has been that if you give doctors or other clinicians back good data, case mix adjusted, about how they're doing relative to their peers or relative to best practice, it's quite effective. They're interested in knowing it. There's always a process of change management required, but they're interested in it, like all of us would be. And it actually can have positive impacts on how healthcare is delivered. I think Medibank did a great job. You probably know Medibank published some information recently in relation to common surgical procedures in partnership with the College of Surgeons. That showed more or less variation of care, variation of fees, variation in ages, and a number of other common clinical outcomes measures that were available for surgeons to actually see as a whole. The data was obviously de-identified. But I think it's an important start of the discussion, and I think Medibank did a good job there. And we're looking at actually having extending those analyses by creating some complementary analyses, also in partnership with the profession. And I think that's another thing that we'd like to continue to. We would much prefer to work with the profession than against them. To some extent, all of us, and that includes hospitals, private providers, and funders, should have aligned interest to keep private healthcare affordable, because if it becomes unaffordable, people will understand we flip back to a public system. So certainly for us, it's important to work as much as we can cooperatively with the profession, and that work with the College of Surgeons is an example of that. Another area that we're having extensive discussions in is working with clinical registries. You may be aware, but clinical registries are effectively sophisticated health databases which take, most importantly, patient information, especially patient-reported outcomes. So patients say, my symptoms of back pain are this severe. My restrictions around knee pain limit me in this way. My pain level is this much. And there's clinical measurements and patient-reported outcome measurements, as well as some actually diagnostic measurements that are recorded into a database, and those patients are followed up anywhere from 6 months to 5 years. These days it's getting more possible to do that through use of electronic data, so creating websites, email addresses, texts, and getting people to fill it in an automated routine way, and feeding that information back to surgeons in a way that they're anonymous to us is something we'd like to support. So we're also in discussions with leading groups in relation to how we can actually support those activities, because we think they'll be good for everybody. I'd like to talk a little bit too about our wellness initiatives and health coaching. At Bupa, we're moving away from what I call classic health coaching. Classic health coaching to me is an outbound call, typically to a person that we think has predictive modelling has showed to be at high risk of future illness or future healthcare costs. And we have found that the actual the returns we were getting for the resource and the investment required wasn't necessarily what we wanted it to be. And so we're looking now at actually making more sophisticated versions of outbound calls or inbound programs for our members. So one of the areas that we think we're looking at more, and I'll talk as well about sort of themes we want to emphasise, are discharge programs. So making sure people are discharged right, have a good medication summary, a medication reconciliation, so the meds they're on after admission are the same as the meds they're on before admission. Do they have the right home health care? Do they have an appointment with their specialist after the actual procedure's done? Helping that sort of path to home be smooth and easy. may actually reduce hospital readmissions, unplanned readmissions, or potentially reduce the need for inpatient services in rehabilitation. Another, I think, growing important need is that we do have a fragmented system. And I was interested that Jim said, it's the first time I've ever heard anyone say this, that there may be a good thing to a fragmented healthcare system because it creates innovation and sort of buzz. But in general terms, I as a person who's worked as a doctor within the system for about 10 years, and as a person now who works in health services management, I find it complex, and I especially dislike the perverse incentives that it gives. And I'd like to have a system that actually created efficiency first and good customer service first and good member outcomes first, and then you kind of work out the sort of the funding after that. But it's certainly, as a payer and as well as a participant, you dislike it when the system doesn't work right and you see cost shifting. But helping individuals navigate their way through this complex system, especially with chronic disease, is important to us. And helping create programs to identify and encourage those people to contact us is something that we're looking at doing now. And finally, I'd say that a weakness too, with what I call a classic health coaching, is it can't be centred outside the doctor's treatment plan. And it's hard to get connected with GPs in particular. We look for ways to do that. It's not easy. But certainly, I think if you're looking at doing health coaching programs, it's really important to work with the doctor and be supporting what the doctor's trying to do for that member and accept there is a really useful role for a virtual health coach who's available out of hours and available for times when the doctor's not available. In terms of themes we're thinking of, I will say that we're looking at digital coaching. We're looking at using avatars in our coaching programs as a way to create lower cost, more impactful, more wider reaching programs. SMS texting, which has been shown actually by some good studies to be effective, as well as more sophisticated treatment decision support programs, when you give people good information to weigh up pros and cons of certain options around back surgery, around heart surgery, for example. I do think that health is a sales pitch. I know it's sort of funny me saying that as a chief medical officer, but I think we underrate the importance of actually connecting to our customers and using marketing techniques to sell them on the benefits of good health. And I've personally been very influenced by some of the actual behavioural insight books around predictably irrational or nudge. Books like that, which I think take a cynical but I believe sort of accurate view of the way people behave. And we look for ways to include those insights in our programs. Wearable technology is new, but there's no doubt it'll become a more important part of the scene. I don't feel that Bupa needs to rush near to be first to the scene because it's still developing a lot now, but I watch it with interest a lot and we watch it with interest. And for me, the main benefit of it is that there will undoubtedly be insights and association, but it's mainly about making people more engaged with their health, because I've always noticed personally that it's easy to appeal to people on the basis of health and beauty, if you like. We look at our skin and the things we can see connect to us more, but you can't see inside your blood vessels and you can't see inside your joints. And somehow wearable technology has the ability to make that closer to us, and I think it'll just get people more engaged in their health, which is the key challenge actually to actually getting to individual-based programs and getting people to work harder on improving their health. I'm going to just to come to the conclusion now. Targeted health communications is important. Having a good content management system that actually creates individualised, targeted programs for people with diabetes or arthritis or heart disease that are relevant to them is something that's not easy to do, but is certainly the direction that we're moving in. An example of how we've done this is if we created a digital health hub called the Blue Room. We're working hard with social media to actually incent and encourage our members and the general public to go there. And really the concept is it's an always-on channel for people who can look at themes that we know are important to our customers. And our customer insights more or less said that for us, critical things to focus on, certainly initially, were raising a family, improving your health and well-being in a wellness sort of sense, caring for an aged loved one, and living with a chronic healthcare condition. And so we created those four key themes in the Blue Room, and it's been really successful. You know, it has a strong journalistic customer engagement flavour, but with good clinical oversight. We've had about 1.5 million hits in the first year of operation, which we're very pleased with. Finally, we do actually sponsor some films which we think can be useful and disruptive. We sponsored a film called The Sugar Film. I don't know if you've seen that, but it's a kind of a cool movie or a cool documentary about a guy that It's more or less a sugar version of Supersize Me, and just went into a really high added sugar diet and tracked his health over a number of years. And I think that's a great, easy way to actually get people more thinking about the sort of food they ate and the impact it has on their life, as well as another movie called Take Heart, which is aimed at Indigenous Australians who have a higher incidence and an unnecessary incidence of rheumatic heart disease that could be prevented. This film actually is a way that we can encourage them to actually take part in the prevention that's available to minimise the risk of heart complications from that. So I can, in closing, affordability is the challenge for PHI. We need to make sure, and I think Cindy said it well, we've got to make the argument that we're bringing value, but we've also got to do our best to actually make sure that the rate of premium increases is as low as it can be and ideally close to inflation. And from a health content point of view, we believe that, and this will get better, we're starting it now, but creating more relevant, more easy to access information to consumers will be an important part of helping to close that affordability gap.